roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world inside our beautiful home in Mountain's Edge, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goz, Ari's co-host. What's up?
What up?
Not much. Not much. It's Thursday, October 1st, early morning edition of MMA Junkie Radio. We're going to bang this boy out here. And bad boy out here. I should say, throw in bad boy. Otherwise, people might think we're in some pizza parlor in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about some of these big stories that have popped up in the last 24 hours since our Junkie Radio Wednesdays on Sportscaster episode. We got an event to look forward to this weekend in Yas Island. It's the second of five events out in Yas Island. It's their second run. It started with UFC 253 last week. It culminates with UFC 254 on October 24th. We'll talk about The Ultimate Fighter, which I don't think needs to come back, but apparently it was close and it was coming back with some monsters. Also, Paul Daly, he's not fighting this weekend. He had an interesting week for sure. We'll go over that. Israel Adesanya's boob. Just kidding. His pectoral muscle. We'll talk about that, Goz. Mm-hmm. Trust me, I'm in no position to talk about that. I need to get my push-ups going. Otherwise, I'll be that dude from Tough 10. Titties, didn't they call him that?
Oh, yeah.
What was his name?
Daryl Chanel or something? Yeah.
And then, ironically enough, I think Quentin kind of had titties in his last fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jan Blachowicz got an amazing reception back home. He even got to meet a big figure in the government. We'll talk about that as well. And, there's a few other news nuggets. Juliana Pena thinks she's got next if she wins. I might disagree with that. Buckle up, folks. It's MMA Junkie Radio again on an early edition Thursday, October 1st. Here we go.
Habla español, amigo. Hola amigos, Danny Segura dropping in. Just wanted to let you know about MMA Junkie's latest podcast. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language show dedicated to all things professional fighting. Each Monday, we recap the major events from the weekend, plus we analyze the week's biggest news. We also bring you exclusive interviews with the best fighters, coaches, and experts in the Hispanic and Latin American scene. You can find Hablemos MMA every Monday morning on your favorite podcasting platform. Suscríbete y nos hablamos pronto. Chao.
Goes, I'll start off with titties. Most of our listeners are men, so we'll talk about that. Now, you know what, folks? Listen, as you get older, if you don't work on your chest, yeah, you're going to get man boobs. Mike Dolce once told me, if you want to get on that right away, he goes, 100 push-ups a day for a month, and you're on your way. And so that's just a fun fact to start off the show. And we'll move on from that. Goz, you know I'm not a fan of the Ultimate Fighter.
I know.
I really love the Dana White Contender Series on Tuesday, which is on a hiatus right now, folks. They did 7 weeks. There's 3 weeks to go. When they come back in November, when they come back from Yas Island, in November, they're going to do it. And by the way, I was asked right away, is it the first Tuesday in November? I doubt it. That's Election Day. I just don't think... UFC is usually pretty good about forecasting, so I don't think they would go up against that beast.
That would be insane. I don't think anybody would do something like that.
Right. So I think November 10th would probably be a safe bet. But they are coming back in November. Dana White already said it. All right. So the Ultimate Fighter 29, they're on. Apparently, he goes, they were close to booking Khabib versus Conor. Conor's coached before. Khabib hasn't. And you know how you talked about part of what you've liked about the Ultimate Fighter is if they have two good coaches, you have that dynamic of the coaches, their staff, along with the fighters themselves, who should really be the focus, except they're not as known. So to invest your Wednesday or Tuesday or whatever night it is of the week that you're going to watch for an hour, something's got to bring you to the table. Man, McGregor and Khabib would have brought, you know, heads to the table.
Yeah, I think even like the most casual fan would probably tune into something like that.
We're talking about Kimbo numbers, man.
That's, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you know, some people will probably have a little bit of issues with it because of the whole incident in Brooklyn and all that. But I think we're just kind of past that. I think that's something that they somewhat condemned and they used the footage. We're just kind of past it, I think, at this point. I think it'd be pretty nutty. I don't know if there'd be more incidents like that on Tough, but you kind of never know with people like that.
They would have heavy security, and I think they would let them get in each other. I mean, you know what would be interesting, the most interesting? My favorite part is when they're getting ready to walk out for the fight, and they're just standing in the back ready to go through those two doors.
Mm-hmm.
TJ and Garbrandt always used to get into it there, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't even know if they would bring them that close together. I don't know if Dana would talk to them and say, hey, listen, we can't do that. And I don't know if that's enough. I don't know if there's a fine big enough because they're both rich.
It's a recipe for disaster. So, but it's also, if you're not going to do it, then why are you doing
this? Right, but you got to get them close. You got to get them face to face, you know? I don't know, man. Oh, that would be something else. You know, let me see. Who are the hotheads? Ali. He's Dennis. Always riding by, what's his face, by Khabib.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zubara, who was involved. Who knows if Nevada State Athletic Commission even allows them to be nearby. DC would be around. I think DC would just be a good presence to have around anyway. But I have a feeling he would bring in DC maybe and Javier Mendez. And, I Khabib rolls with so many people that I don't know how big his crew would be. Connor has his coach, Kavanaugh. Artem would be a fire plug.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Dennis. But I don't know.
Oh, Dylan Dennis. I thought you said Dennis the first time. I was like, who's this fool Dennis he's talking
a dentist?
About? No, Dennis. I thought you said Dennis, not Dennis. That's why I was like, who's that?
But see, here's the thing. Like, I don't know if you remember years back, Jake Shields was brought on as one of the assistant coaches, but because he at the time was part of Strikeforce or something, that you would never hear him talk, and B, you would rarely even see him like in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the UFC's past that sort of thing now, and
with the Dylan Danis angle,
because he's a Bellator guy, you know, mm-hmm. and they don't want to promote him. But I think they'd be silly not to.
Yeah, what is he? I think he's only 1-0, right? Or 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
How come he doesn't fight more often?
I don't know.
The mouthiest 2-0 guy I've ever met.
They could have used him this weekend, though.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on from that. So this is what happened. Apparently, Dana White said the reason it didn't go down is because Khabib pulled the plug over the leaked direct messages that Conor McGregor revealed to the world about a conversation he was having with Dana about what he wanted to do. Remember, he called 2020 a season. I think what he wanted to do was basically have like at least 3 fights, and he wanted to have a season. And I think all that stems from is because he wants to be on the Forbes list. So if you can get 3 fights and make $100 million, we'll say, right? And with Floyd out of the way, you have a chance of being the highest paid athlete in the world. And I just think that feeds Connor's ego. I think that was the whole intention of fighting Cowboy early in January, and it was just going to line up and culminate with a matchup against Khabib Nurmagomedov. I should call it a rematch. excuse me, early morning. So that's not going to happen because Khabib pulled the plug. Now, my question to you goes is, why does Khabib care? I mean, was there any, do you remember him being in there? I just remember Conor basically batting for himself and saying, I serve as no one's backup. And Khabib, I don't think, is best friends with Diego. That was the part where that was a little bit disparaging. I guess if Diego was his homie, you know, and you're talking shit, yeah, okay, I get it. But I can't believe Dana was that close to pulling it off, and he's letting Khabib pull the plug because I guess Khabib doesn't want to give him the rematch. Then that's part of it. But I thought Dana White says, when I say it's on, you have to take it. Otherwise, I start stripping people or moving on or whatever. I mean, now does Khabib have that much power?
I think he actually does.
Okay.
I mean, think about it. Like, I believe that Khabib just likes to kind of mess with Conor and torture him a little bit, punish him for the way that he is. And, I mean, let's be honest here. Like, I don't know that there's that many people that love to be a tough coach. Maybe Khabib, since he didn't do it. Looking for a reason out. But, I mean, that's a guy that's got to come all the way over here, stay over here, be locked in, you know, especially during a pandemic. So maybe that's like an easy way out of just not doing the whole thing. Who knows? But but I think he also just kind of likes to mess with Conor and just kind of flex a little bit.
Now, all this, is it a little disrespectful to Justin Gaethje? If Khabib is offended over leaked direct messages, could Gaethje be offended at some planning, you know, some future planning?
He should be.
Because would that coaching stint still happen if Khabib lost to Justin in less than a month?
It can't, right?
It could. I mean, would Conor and Khabib fight regardless?
Wouldn't Conor
want?
Or does
Conor want the belt so bad that now Gaethje steps?
I think he wants the belt so bad. I think if he had his choice, he wouldn't want to have to fight Khabib. But
he was consumed with Nate before he got to Eddie. Remember that? He wanted to do the rematch, and he wanted a 170 before he got to Eddie Alvarez, and that's when he became a champ. So who knows, man? I'm telling you, these guys get weird as it goes on. Like I'm happy to hear that Conor could, that his number one priority is to become a champ. I just love it when the fighters go for the glory and not the money. Because I feel like the glory, meaning the belts, brings you the money. But I think some of these fighters think otherwise. They want the money now. Who knows? But that's pretty big news. And that would have been one of the exceptions. That pairing would have been an exception for me to bring back the Ultimate Fighter. But
it's probably a good question to ask Dana, because I'd love to see how he responds to it. You know, should Gaethje win that fight, would he have been the coach? All right, that is a good question.
Yeah, all right. Paul Daly says he's fit and ready to fight, but he's not gonna. So what happened was, he's out in Italy, goes. He was supposed to fight Derek Anderson. And by the way, I've seen Derek Anderson fight a lot at Bellator. That would have been a good fight, man. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as I want to see Daly versus MVP, because Daly says, three more and I'm done. What happened was, he missed the official... The weight for his next fight was going to be at 170. He came in at 172.6. That was going to be his official miss, so he was going to be 1.6 over. For that, he apologizes. He says, and remember, years ago, Daly used to have these types of problems. Very common. But for a while there, I don't remember hearing too much of him missing, so I thought he got it under control. Regardless, he was going to come in a little bit heavy for this one. And so... he goes in the back and they have those tents, and you know, they have, I think you've seen it with the UFC when they weigh in and they have a table full of fruit and drinks and water and everything you need to basically start rehydrating. Bellator has something similar. And so he went back there and he was laying down and he wasn't feeling right. He said he started getting some cramps. Now in that process, he still needed to come back and do a pose off. He still needed to finish medical, sign posters. He gave an interview. He goes, it wasn't ideal. He goes, but I did it. He goes, but I was telling people, hey, somebody needs to rub my legs. I'm cramping. He says a few people at Bellator, he didn't give any names, took it serious. He says others were running around. But from what he's describing, it sounds like a situation in the weigh-ins where I guess some people just, you know how it is, goes. There's actual cutoffs. You know, you have a two-hour window to weigh everybody in, and so maybe those people get a pass.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe those people get a pass or something. But anyway, this thing started to escalate, and he said his hip, his abdomen. Now, here's the other thing that concerns me is he says this has happened before, and it's common. He says it's happened with other fighters. I have heard of those cramps, but it was happening, except the way he talked about it so nonchalantly, it almost made it sound like, no biggie. You know, if somebody just would have rubbed my legs and intended to me, I would have been fine.
It's part of being dehydrated.
But he panicked so much that he said, all right, IV, take me to the hospital. And they did. He says he knew that once he got the IV, that it would be done. But he said he was over it. He was over the fight. So he goes to the hospital, and I guess he's just chilling, waiting his turn, because we are in a pandemic. He said he fell asleep for about an hour and a half. When he woke up, he felt fine. So he says, I never got the IV. I'm ready to fight. But Bellator said the ship sailed.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go through something like that, and then I can't see any organization or any type of commission being okay with that. Yeah, I think you have to know once you go that route, you're probably not going to fight.
Yeah, sucks, man. Sucks that somehow this just couldn't have been rectified. I wanted to see the fight, and you know when a Bellator matchup takes a hit on a card, especially in Europe.
Yeah.
Do you even want to tune in? You know, like
that's the problem.
Everything's based around the main event.
And this is, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the debut, right, for CBS Sports?
Mm-hmm.
So, dude, that Bellator cannot be happy with Paul Daly right now. But half of it's their fault, because you're right. Take that fight off, you don't have very much. And usually with Bellator, the main event and at least the co-main are somewhat interesting. So you got to put that on Bellator, and then just Paul Daly going through all that is kind of on him. You know, you got to put that on him.
Yeah. The lineup now shows Kate Jackson versus Denise Kielholz. And by the way, this is live on CBS Sports Network. They are debuting, like Go says, from Milan, Italy, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. That's what time the main card starts. But that's your main event. And trust me, you don't want to hear the rest of the card. Now, that doesn't mean, folks, if you love watching face punching, it doesn't mean you can't still tune in. Remember, the prelims are on MMA Junkie, but it doesn't mean that you can't tune in and watch. Sometimes you just get a great scrap and you don't even know who it is. And that is kind of the beauty of MMA. And if they're like two guys 6-0 that you didn't know of, and now someone's 7-0. Trust me, from 6-0 to 7-0, if someone has a good performance, all of a sudden you come back going, hey, how about that Chris Duncan, you know, or whoever.
I mean, at its very worst, just think of it this way. Like, how much different is it from, like, a contender series? And you love those, right?
True.
And those are guys with kind of similar records. So, at worst, tune in for that.
You know who's been getting a little buzz? I hate to pat myself on the back. That Jake Hadley guy that we talked to, he's kind of chirping.
Yeah, a little
he's
bit.
He's been chirping on
Twitter.
On social media. And I think he's going to be in the UFC soon. You know, he was talking about, I'll take on Royval. You know, and if not, then Cage Warriors, let's go. Come on, let's go. He wants to win I think another title or something like that. But I've been kind of enjoying watching him. So, whatever. I'm going to watch out of respect, because I think that's a big move to CBS Sports Network. And I've ranked Kate Jackson before. So I'll probably tune in. I'll probably have we have multiple TVs. So I'll probably watch it and on mute. And then when it's time for the main event, I'll turn it up. But I definitely want to see how things come off on CBS Sports Network. Good luck to Bellator. I think that really is a huge move. We heard about that 3 years ago, by the way. And it took that long to get there. Fucking Paramount. What a waste.
It's crazy,
yeah. Huh? Goes, here's something else. Jan Blachowicz, when he got back to Poland, he had a big reception in the airport. And you know what it looked like? Well, no, no one's going to get this reference. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Tears of the Sun with Bruce Willis.
I don't remember it.
Oh, at the very end, one of the guys that they're trying to save, because it's an elite military group that's trying to get, I believe, the guy is a heir to the throne, right, of a family that's been massacred, and the military is trying to take over. So I think it's like a monarchy situation, and the elite forces. It's really got a good cast. I mean, not a great cast, but Bruce Willis, Tom Skerritt, Cole Hauser. So anyway, they finally get this guy out, and when they realize who he is, everybody's kind of chanting. Now, it's an African nation. I think they went from Nigeria to Cameroon, and I don't remember exactly what the situation was, and of course it's probably fictional, but it was funny because at the airport in Poland, I think someone said something along the lines of, "Hey, that's Jan Blachowicz." Like, it didn't look like they were lined up for Jan Blachowicz. Mm-hmm. But I think somebody noticed it was Jan Blachowicz because he had the belt over his shoulder. And unless it was just a nicely orchestrated setup, it looked like people randomly came out of nowhere and then kind of just gave him a great reception. It was awesome. A
cool little chant and everything. Mm-hmm. It was fun.
Yeah. So then, get this. He then met with the Prime Minister of Poland. And that gentleman's name is Mateusz Morawiecki. And so they got together, and it looked like they had tea or whatever. So goes, I can't say enough about how cool Jan was in our studio. And nice when guy. We sat there, I just remember we made the most of the interview. We had some good laughs and everything, but I don't think either one of us went, "That's the future champ walking out."
No, I mean, come on. It's really hard to do that with at the time when you got guys like Cormier and Jones at the top.
Did we say that about Izzy? We had him in the studio in December of 2017. He hadn't even signed with the UFC. And look at the biggest star that he is.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think the only thing we said was, well, he's got a great kickboxing game as long as he doesn't get taken down. You know?
There, you know, really when you think about it, there are very few guys in the UFC or in MMA in general where if they're the champion and you look at the contenders, you say that guy's like a lock to win all of those fights, or he's always going to be the favorite. There's not too many of those guys. And so even a guy like Israel Adesanya, a lot of people took Costa in that fight. A lot of people did. So there's not that many people that you could just point to and go, that's it. And at the time, that's what you had with like John Jones. And then even then, when you go with the next guy, which was Daniel Cormier, you basically say that about everybody else but John Jones. So yeah, you interview Jan Blachowicz and he's saying nice things and he's saying all the things he's supposed to say, but you kind of Frank Mir face it a little bit, right? Because you're just like, dude, do you realize who's at the top? And I think he was an interview at the end of the show, so I think we even had time to just talk to him a little bit after the show. He was super cool, super nice, very confident in all the things he said.
I want to say this about Israel Adesanya. I think he's spectacular, by the way. We just gave him a little bump in the pound-for-pound rankings as well. Now he's number three. It goes Jones. No, I can't remember. I should know. Habib and Jones. I mean, they go back and forth. But I think Habib's one, Jones is two, and Israel's three. He just went ahead of DJ. But spinning back click, it goes too fast to make this point. And when we were talking with John the other day, same thing, but Israel Adesanya has really dodged some major bullets. And I'll tell you why. One of them is because he was just awesome. I really wanted to see Derek Brunson at least get him to the ground. Derek's physical. He still uses his wrestling. And I wanted to see what Izzy was like on the ground, you know, because Kelvin, I think, got him to the ground. I think Kelvin knocked him down and took him down. But the test of keeping someone down for like a minute or two and testing their sub defense, seeing how they deal with your ground and pound. But Izzy was so... went
with Anderson for a long time.
Yeah. But Izzy was so good that he pretty much got rid of Derek Brunson quickly. To his credit, I want to say that. But Yoel Romero and Paulo Costa were supposed to test them in another way. Just their actual physicality, their strength, their power. And with Romero fought like a space cadet, you know, and Izzy didn't fight too much better. And it was just a average fight, shitty fight, whatever you want to call it. And then Costa's going out there and he's clowning and same thing. So I feel like he dodged two. There's probably people that have fought Costa and Yoel Romero, including them fighting each other. And they're going, God damn, I wish they would have fucking played that game with me. I got fucked up by those guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And Israel got like the worst versions of them. Now, again, I want to continue saying this. That doesn't mean I think Israel would have lost, but I just wanted to see Israel get tested. The Whitaker fight, Whitaker came, he fought, and he blasted him. You know what I mean? So I think he should be very, very proud of that one. Very, very proud of the Costa one. But again, I feel like those other guys just fought so much better on the road to the title. I don't know.
You can kind of do that with a lot of people, though. That's the thing. Like John Jones to this day has spent very limited time on his back, right? And with Anderson Silva, that was the thing. And when he finally got put on his back, it was Travis Luter. Remember, Travis Luter actually mounted him. And I mean, like, passed his guard really, really easily.
And then Anderson goes, I think I'll get up now. I mean, like, he didn't have really the slickest moves.
And then you see Chael Sonnen, right? And he kept them down.
Yes.
So, like, that's the thing.
What I wanted to see from Brunson.
That's the thing about Izzy is, like, you want to see what happens when that happens. But those are two guys that have kind of shown that they're just good at takedown defense. You know, Chael Sonnen takes down just about everyone. But Izzy, I guess, could maybe do that for a very, very long time and just be successful.
Yeah. So let's stay with Israel Adesanya. Everybody kept talking about the pectoral muscle. I didn't notice it. Did you?
Okay. I'm going to give credit to Billy Lowe in our sportscaster chat. He brought it up.
From South Korea? Just kidding, Billy.
Dude, Northern it was California. So funny, too, because he brought it up, and then he said something like crickets or something like that. Like, nobody bought into it. And I remember reading it. And so then when that came out, he goes, yes, see? He goes, I'm not crazy. It was odd. Yeah. I thought it was odd.
Is that like a pituitary gland thing or what?
You know, at first what I thought was I thought maybe something had torn or something because you know, if you don't see that during weigh-ins or stare downs or anything like that, sometimes, like, have you ever seen when a bicep tears? It just kind of, like, flops.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe it was that, but I don't know.
Well, he says he's doing the blood work and he's waiting to hear the results. But I didn't notice it.
Did you see?
He's really skinny, like Costa teases him. And I guess I will say this. I'll probably get some crap. Well, I don't care. But at Mandalay Bay, I stare at people a lot. And I will stare at a man, but it's for a different reason. Because sometimes I'll be like, well, that's a pretty cool watch. Or, hey, I like the way that guy wore that outfit. You know what I mean? Or what number is he? Like in the sports book especially. That's a cool Niners jersey. I've established that. But what number is he again? You know, like if they got something over it. Or who's the name on the back if it's a soccer jersey. So in that regard, I'm a stare of both men and women. But a lot of times it has to do with their fashion or whatever. Now, a lot of times it also has to do with I just am a people gawker. And I think when I was more younger and immature, and I think I still do it, to be honest. You ever just go out with a girl or your buddies and you people watch and make fun of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. So
that's Joey Diaz's favorite thing to do when he comes to Vegas.
Yeah.
So 6 a.m. at Starbucks.
So that thing. However, when I see the fighters, I'm not really glancing at them that long because I'm doing so many things. I'm looking at the tail of the tape or I'm hearing what they're announcing or I'm getting a last minute bet in or I'm getting pumped for the fight. I don't really see too much. However, if I do see something, I usually see the chest and their abdomen just to see if they came in a little bit leaner, if they carry a little bit flab. Like Diego looked puffy. Diego looked puffy the other night, you know? So I don't know how I missed that. You know, I don't know how I really missed that, but I guess we were doing a watch along. It was my birthday. I had a few drinks, so maybe whatever. But I checked out the picture to see what everybody was talking about, and I did notice it.
Did you see who's calling him out now?
Jones?
No, Chris Weidman. So Chris Weidman is saying,
what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so at first you got to go, are you crazy? But he's kind of just earned that, hasn't he? Like, he makes good points. The problem is, we don't know that he's the same fighter he was. The points that he's making is, against a tall, lanky fighter, I do pretty well. Anderson Silva, you pointed out, Uriah Hall. Those are good points. However, we don't know that you're the same cat that you were when you fought those guys, right? Like, there's definitely something different now.
His last fight wasn't, it was a win, but it wasn't
it just
championship
wasn't,
material.
Yeah, it wasn't Chris Weidman-esque, right?
Right.
So I'm okay with him throwing his name. I'm okay with him saying
it. He had lost
it.
5 of 6 before that win, so he's won. He's 2 and 5 in his last 7, I guess.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. When you've been champion, when you have won those types of fights, it's very easy, if the UFC wants to kind of just spin things that way and say, this is why we're giving him the shot. So I don't mind him saying those things.
He was being interviewed, and I suppose anytime you interview somebody in the division, especially someone that's got a name, I guess you ask them, hey, can you make a run at this? And if they answer that, like Chris did, I guess you can't hold that against them. If Chris comes out of nowhere and just puts it out on social media unsolicited and says he's got something for the champ, that's when you go, well, hold on a second, pal. Like, there's a lot of people in line here, starting with the winner of Cannoneer and Whitaker. I don't want to say Romero's always a player. Costa's always a player. Till's probably still a player. Gastelum's still. I'm just saying all those haven't lost 5 of their last 7, so they might be a player before we get to Weidman. But who knows, man? The UFC, when they fucking booked Aldo coming off a loss against Cejudo and then rebooked him against Jan because Cejudo retired, again, coming off a loss to Marlon Moraes, who very easily could have just stepped in, that just boggled my mind. They booked Chael Sonnen coming off a loss to Anderson Silva against John Jones. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I guess, yeah, chirp off. Chirp all you want, because you never know if you're just the right guy in the location. Dana White just does it. All right, you know who else is chirping?
Who?
Juliana Pena.
I didn't really get this one too much.
Yeah, I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth. There's the part of me that goes, what? Because she said, I'm the only clear-cut answer for a title shot after UFC on ESPN 16. That's the fight card coming up this weekend. So she's pushing herself. I get it. She emphasizes, I've only lost once, and that's to
Valentina
Shevchenko. And then she points out, I beat a former champ in Nico Montano. But she's not really a strong former champion. You know, Jessica I was a recent contender. So I kind of like the way she navigated around the answer. But, girl, you're not the clear cut. Irene Aldana's won 5 in a row, and she's in the main event.
That's what
if
makes
she beats
it so
Holm,
weird.
A former champ, I think we all know it's going to be Aldana versus Amanda Nunes. Mm-hmm. You know? So you may have a shot if you look spectacular and Irene struggles to beat Holm in a boring matchup, then I could see the UFC saying there was a leapfrog here. And then they look at Juliana Pena's resume, and then they point out some nice things. She's a former tough champ. I could see that, but
she's
not
clear cut. I would even be okay with that if that were to go down that way. But to say clear cut on a card where above you, someone is obviously the clear cut there. Like, right. I just didn't get that. Like, there's ways to sell yourself to the media, to the fans. To
That's
the
what a pro wrestling manager would say.
Yeah, that just wasn't the right way.
Right. So then the other part of me, remember I said I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth. The other part of me says, well, what is she supposed to do? She's promoting herself. She wants that shot. Don't you want fighters to speak up? Blah, blah, blah. I just think you could do both and not get the roll of the eyes. Because you know there was about 20 media in there, spaced 6 feet apart. There was Frank Mir face. There was the roll of the eyes. There was a little, you know, you cover your mouth and you kind of go, this bitch is crazy. You know, like that type of thing.
There's got to be some common sense.
You want them to take you serious. You want them to get some follow-up, you know. And again, she presented a decent case for why. Jermaine Duran to me did fight for a title recently. Nico Montana did hold a championship recently. Valentina would be her last loss, is a current one of the GOATs right now. But now you start going back to Zingano and I mentioned those two, and that's like 2015, 2016, you know. And in the meantime, Aldana's been busy. She's from Mexico for real. And I just know Dana White in that regard. He would love to have him a pure Mexican champ.
Dude, I was thinking about that. He comes from the
boxing world, and that would be tremendous in Mexico.
I was thinking about it a little bit. You know, because, I mean, you have a good example. With, like, look at the way they pushed Alexa Grasso.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But what I was thinking about was, you have to, if you're Holly Holm, you have to know that when you go out there and you fight and you look ringside, you see the matchmakers, you see Dana White, they have to be rooting against you, right?
Not necessarily, and I'll tell you why. Because Holm's very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's not going to give her another shot. She's
a
former
but they give her a ton of them.
I know, but like, enough is enough at this point, right? You have, and like you said,
I think they prefer Aldana.
Everything
to
you
win.
Have with Aldana, I think Holly's probably smart enough to know that. I think she's got to be looking at them going, man, you guys probably want me to get knocked out.
Well, right? That was like Woodley and Burns, you know. Mm-hmm. Woodley was probably looking around going, man, I know you don't want me. But again, Dana White put the UFC in a situation where they can't lose. They would rather Aldana win, but he's not worried about it like he used to be. He was worried about it before. He needed Tito versus Chuck. He needed Hughes versus Penn or GSP versus Hughes. He needed these things to happen for its survival. Remember, the UFC was negative prior to season one of The Ultimate Fighter in 2005. They were negative $44 million. They put $10 million into the show, which took them to negative $54 million. And then the show, at one point, hit such a bump that Dana White ran over there and yelled at these guys and asked them if they wanted to be a fucking fighter, lost his top. They get to a finale, and Griffin and Bonner put on such an epic fight that Spike TV said, let's do this again. We'll pay for it. And I think they gave him a nice little contract that made back some of that $44 million. And then the rest is history. So that's how close they came, folks. When I say these things, like in 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, they needed certain things to happen, certain outcomes with Shamrock and Franklin and Tito and Chuck and Randy and all that, because it presented the best case scenario. They only did 5 shows a year back then. You know what I mean? And if you lost your main event, that fucked you. So now it's just plug and play. No big deal. You know? And so they've carved themselves out a nice business, and I don't think they ever want to go back to that, and that's why I think they are the way they are. But at the same time, you know, because people wonder, like, why don't you just pay George Masvidal? Why don't you just pay Colby what he's asking, and Ferguson and Poirier and all these guys? And the reason is because the UFC is the star.
Mm-hmm.
Those fighters, you ain't missing them, right? They're still having a fight card this weekend. We just came off a pretty good pay-per-view. There'll be a pretty good pay-per-view at the end of the month. If McGregor and Habib had happened, they would have had a great comeback to the reality show. You know, they are just on fire, man.
And anywhere you look,
through a pandemic,
like, when Mike Goldberg left, right, how are we going to listen to a fight, a big pay-per-view, without hearing his voice? That just marched on. Ariane Celeste hasn't been out there in I don't know how long. Nobody said,
Richard Hunter's not gonna like
Ariane?
That
Ariane, like, right. They just march on, dude.
They do, yeah. Nate, Nick, all those guys could fight, but they don't, and it's just kind of no big deal. Kobe went almost a year without fighting. No big deal. Leon Edwards, you know he hasn't fought in about a year?
Yeah.
No big deal. Yeah. Miocic only fights like once a year. No big deal.
Leon
Cormier
Edwards
just retired. No big deal.
Might be the last person in the UFC I would want to be. He is in a horrible position right now. When you think about how badly, I mean, part of it is he's been screwed, but the other part was the pandemic. It probably sucks to be Leon Edwards right now. And I like him, and I think he's a great fighter, mm-hmm. but it just sucks.
What's his excuse at the end of the day? Fighters from every country are at Yas Island, so it's not like we can say the UK, motherfucker.
But
UK.
It was early on, remember?
Like, I know, right, but like, now he just can't find out. Is he picky on his end? I think he declined a couple title
probably,
shots. Like,
because he kind of, at one point, deserves
something. At some point,
something,
it's got to be him and not the UFC, though, right?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, and now all of a sudden, Shimeyev comes through, and he's going to disrupt things, you know? If he's as good as it looks so far, he's going to disrupt things. Mm. All right, folks. Let me just finish with this. The event this weekend, or when we came in on Sunday and we had John on, we talked about the top three fights. Ketlin Vera, she is a ranked fighter at bantamweight. I think she's in a decent spot, but she's behind Pena and Aldana. Aldana gave her her first and only loss. Hakeem Duwadu, I want to see more of him. Brad Riddell dug deep. I really liked him coming back and beating Alex Da Silva. Jake Matthews fought a hero of his. He was 12 when Diego was fighting a tough one. That Ludovic Klein guy was pretty impressive, except he came in over, and I know the team was not happy with that. That's what, when you saw Israel Adesanya getting in Dana White's face, he was talking about that. Shane Young, his teammate, lost to a guy that came in 5 pounds over, really 4 pounds over technically, and he was saying the penalty should be 90%. So when you were watching all that stuff in the post-fight show, that's what he was talking about. I think Izzy makes a good point, but they're never going to get to that point, right? 90%? Fuck. Yeah. But I can appreciate the team loyalty. This weekend is Aldana versus Holm, and it's going to be the second of 5 events in Abu Dhabi. The show's on Saturday, and Casey Kenney is back. Carlos Condit versus Court McGee. The Pena versus the Durandamy fight. Jorgen De Castro. I like that guy. Nice guy. Holm versus Aldana. You know, a couple other people in there. It's not really too stacked, but we're going to watch it. And we'll be here on Monday to recap it. I want you all to enjoy your week and weekend. Keep it locked on MMA Junkie. We got John Morgan and Farah Hanoun out in Yas Island. We got a great team back here supporting. And don't forget to catch us. If you want more of this podcast, you can catch it in the video form on Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, over on Sportscaster. And if you're thinking it's live, it is in video with a guest. We had Bilal Muhammad on yesterday. But just know you can always go to sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie, and our shows are there, really. So it's like a podcast in that all you have to do is go there, pick a show, and hit play, and boom. Like someone's YouTube page. All right, folks, we are going to bounce and get out of here. Enjoy the week and your weekend, and always be a champion.